if your partner chooses to leave you, that's a gift, man. Like, it may not seem like it, but if you can change your perspective on what just happened and why it happened for you, not to you, and it feels like to you, trust me, I understand, but for you, and you find, like you mentioned, the support system, it can transmute into something very, very beautiful.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Deeper Podcast, a podcast for all of you who want more. More out of yourself, your relationships, your intimacy, and life. My name is Sophie Josefina, and I'm here to bring you deeper. I'm a sex, life, and relating coach, and I'm fascinated by all things masculine and feminine and bringing the two back together, helping people connect on a deep and real level so we can show up for each other, partner with each other in our healing, and call each other back into our power. A very important part of that for me is honoring both sides, the masculine and the feminine, creating more understanding, more compassion, and respect for each unique experience. And so in this series, I'm speaking specifically to men to honor them, to hear their perspective and how they go through relating the feminine life. Because so often we have demonized and devalued men in their experiences, needs, and struggles. And I want to change that. So I hereby welcome you to my Deeper Into Him podcast series. And before we get started for all these conversations, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer because I realize that this conversation about men and women, masculine and feminine, can sound both heteronormative and gendered. Bear with me. Masculine-feminine dynamics play it out in every relationship. So when we speak about men towards women, I hope you can hear it as being the partner who is more in their masculine and the partner who is more in their feminine, and this very often has little to do with gender. In addition to that, I do want to acknowledge that men and women have completely different societal expectations in the world, and because of that, different lenses. For instance, we tell men they should man up and women they should smile more. In that sense, some of this might be gendered, but I hope for people outside of that binary perspective that they might still feel some truth in any of these stories. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Podcast. Today, I am joined by Brandon Archer, and it's not often that I can feel a podcast episode come up for a few days. I'm like, wow, I can't wait for this one to happen, and this is the one, and I have the sense that today is going to be a very, very heartfelt conversation. So I'm really honored that Brendan's here today to talk. So Brendan is a men's relationship and communications coach, and he helps men communicate with women. And if there's something that is a that is a hard thing to do.
That's why we're all here. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
So welcome, Brendan. Hi.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So honored to be here. I as well have been looking forward to this.
Yeah. So Brendan, for people who don't know who you are, do you want to just give a brief introduction? And I know you have quite an incredible life story. So I'm actually also really, really excited to hear more about the life of Brendan.
Yeah. Well, where do I start? Because I could probably take up 2 hours just talking about that. I think I'll start with just why I do what I do now. Mm-hmm. And that goes back probably, I'd say about 7-8 years. I woke up in the hospital one day and I didn't know what happened. I had no memory of the day. And turns out what happened, I am a cyclist and I had some sort of accident on my bike. Severe head injury and literally no idea what actually happened. But what came out of that was I couldn't speak properly. I couldn't see properly. And I was like, man, I'm in trouble here. Like they sent me home after a day and I still couldn't speak properly or see properly. So that was a time in my life where things got very still. Nothing actually mattered other than just breathing. But in a very good way, it just was my first window into what presence actually looks like. Mm-hmm. Spent time with my kids. It was an interesting time, but then I recovered and I just went back to life the way I used to do it. right back into the stressful situations. And then fast forward from there, 2 years. And again, on my bike, there's a theme there. I had a heart attack while I was out training. On my bike, had a heart attack. And there's a whole big story around that. But what I took that as, because the cardiologist could find nothing wrong with me. I had a green light. I was racing my bike again within, I think, about 3 months. No physical reason they could find that I had a heart attack. So wow. I asked the cardiologist, can you have a heart attack from stress? He's like, absolutely, but there's no metric for that. We have no way to measure if that's what happened. So I decided that's why, like, it has to be why. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. I felt my body was tense. I was constantly worried. So that was my invitation from the universe to really wake up and make some changes in my life. So I, at that point, decided I'm actually not going to do things I don't want to do anymore. Doesn't make sense. Why am I living my life that way? So started a journey at that point that forever changed me. I had just started a relationship 2 weeks after that heart attack, and the feminine is powerful. The feminine is powerful. And I said to her, I still remember it quite vividly. It's like, I cannot do a relationship right now. And she's like, well, why don't we just try? I'm like, I've never actually had a woman say, let's just try the relationship. And it spoke to me. And that journey in relationship is where the real growth started. That can be the case. And I was challenged. There were skills I didn't have for a relationship that I really badly wanted to have. And that goes back to, you know, my paradigms from my childhood, and being raised in a cult was very controlling, very specific. And it just wasn't working for me. I reached a point in the relationship where I just didn't know what to do anymore. I'm like, I'm stuck, completely stuck. And my friend suggested the way of the superior man. And that's when things got really, really accelerated in my learning and understanding. Led me to men's groups and men's work. And I have not looked back since. I personally really want a healthy romantic relationship. And that is why, and in men's groups too, I see that it's a theme. It's a theme. And quite often land in those scenarios because their relationship is not going well. So as I've progressed, I'm like, I really want to help men have better relationships with their partners. And that's where I am at today on my journey of helping men.
Yeah. So beautiful. So beautiful. I really hear you on the, you know, sometimes life, like these dark nights of the soul, I had one myself, and I came out of it with the same thought of like, I'm never going back to anything that I don't have a fuck yes for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel totally you. Yeah.
And so unfortunately, we stumble through life putting up with things we didn't know we were putting up with.
Yeah. Yeah. Until our bodies protest and force us to do differently.
Yeah.
So what have you noticed in your work also with helping men communicate better with women? What have you noticed is like the main pain or the main struggle? Because I know there's the stereotypical ones, right? Like, I don't know what to say to her. She wants me to like, she thinks I'm not listening, but I'm listening. Like, what's like the main one for you?
It's actually the other way around, is that they don't feel seen or heard.
Oh, ooh,
yes.
Can you say a bit more about that?
I would say a majority of the men I work with are quite sensitive. And they also have needs and desires and wants, but they may have gotten into relationships where the polarity wasn't exactly what everybody wants. And they don't want to step on her toes. They don't want to hurt her feelings, which leaves them in a position where they actually don't know how to express themselves to their partners. So I'd say that's actually more common as the main pain point.
Yeah, that they don't feel seen or heard, also because they're trying to like avoid conflict or avoid hurting her feelings.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, it's all tied together. Excuse me. It's you know, they're not super connected to themselves. They're not super connected to themselves, which interferes with being able to share what they want to share. Or and you know, it's once they can connect with themselves and share what they want to share, they are able to hear what their partner wants as well.
Yeah. I love how you're saying that. My partner's a body worker, and he always says, like, when you are working with somebody's body, like when you're giving them massage, for instance, actually the presence is not necessarily you. You're not trying to be super present with them. You're actually being super present with your own hand. How does my hand feel on their body? And that was such a switch for me of like, oh, okay. So instead of me trying to put all my attention on the other one, like, do I notice what you're feeling? Do I notice what you're doing? Like, no, actually presence is also about, do I feel myself as I'm sitting in front of you? Do I notice everything that's happening in me as I'm receiving you? And that's a very different, like almost like, what's the word? It's like a very different allocation of your attention almost. And I think a lot of men, like when they try to be present, it's like, I'm going to be here super hard for you.
Yeah. And that and they is don't feel themselves.
Yeah.
Yes. And what I have found is going the other way works. Get present with yourself.
Yeah.
And we can get more into why that is, but you're right. If you're all your energy and your focus is put on them, that will get you so far. It will get you so far. But you need to first go inward and get in tune with yourself. What do you need? What do you want? And learn to take care of those needs, because then at that point you can show up fully for your partner. And now you can really listen, you can really communicate instead of all the voices and the trauma, whatnot, in your head and in your body, trying to react to her before she even speaks. Like, you actually can't hear her.
Yeah.
You can't hear her. And that's, I mean, I know these things because that's my journey. I've worked with enough men. It's all their, it's most men's journeys that the key is we have to go in first. Like, if you want to show up for your partner, if you want to truly communicate with her and connect with her, it starts with you.
Yeah. 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 That's so beautiful, because like being the receiver of sometimes like the nice guy or like the type of man that's like very much wanting to be there for you. I think in my own experience, at a certain point, it would drive me nuts, because I don't want them to be that focused on me. I want my man as the king to have a certain level of selfishness almost.
Absolutely.
That he's not, it's not an unavailability, but I don't want him to be always available, because it means he's taking something away from himself and giving that to me. And I don't want that, right? I want to relate to the king who has got himself, and I don't have to manage that anymore. I don't have to manage his pain or his needs or his boundaries, because he's taking care of that. So that means that that's something. That means it's that's not all given to me, because I don't actually want that. So I love what you said there. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's a result of society that men just don't know how to do that. And I feel for them. I mean, this is my journey too. I'm not speaking out of theory like this. I've lived this. Yeah. And it makes me motivated to help these men. Like, we need to learn how to take care of ourselves first so that we can show up the way women want us to. But nobody taught us this stuff. Like, nobody taught us. Our dads didn't know. No. Their dads didn't know. And we're in this really interesting time in the world where we're going to see a huge shift. Like, I actually believe that, you know, our work, your work, anybody in this space, it's gaining momentum. People are becoming more curious. I don't want to say fed up. They're not getting, well, maybe they are getting fed up with what they're doing just isn't working.
Yeah.
And it excites me to see that men are stepping up and trying new things.
Yeah. Can you share a bit more about your own journey with like your masculinity or being a man or what it means to be a man?
Oh boy, what is it? Yes. I gave a talk February last year on what does it mean to be a man in 2020? Yeah. Modern masculinity and man. People were like, what are you even talking about? What is my journey? I would say I am third generation nice guy.
Oh.
So yeah, that was a challenge. My grandfather, I have a ton of respect for him. He did have a bit of edge, but deep down, definitely nice guy. My dad, full on nice guy. Me, nice guy, definitely. But knew something wasn't right. I'm just going to say something felt off. Something felt off. It's like, I wanted to say the thing to my partner. I wanted to say it, but I'm like, what happens if she gets mad? It's like, well, yeah, she might get mad. But I cared so much to not rock the boat that I just wouldn't do it. So my journey into discovering my masculinity was definitely... You know, I read Way of the Superior Man and then No More Mr. Nice Guy. And I'm like, man, I'm doing this all backwards. Are you kidding me? So, you know, men's group is just such an amazing way to tap into that. Just being with other men and exploring that together, not just alone. I don't think you can do it alone. I don't think that works. I've not heard of anybody doing that on their own. But it was the... catalyst. It was the fire that I'd been looking for, you know, stepping more into that power. That's, I liken it to a glowing ember. Every man feels it. I every time I ask them, or every time I give a talk or say, do you feel like there's this glowing ember inside you that just wants to ignite into a fire? And he's like, yes, that,
yeah,
that. So for me, that was it. Is like, how do I tap into that? And definitely the men's group was the biggest thing, because we would explore that in a safe container. So we have as men, you know, a darker side. We definitely have a primal energy that we're scared to tap into, because we can feel how powerful it is. It's like, I can't bring this to my partner. I can't bring this. Like, where do I do with this energy that I can absolutely feel? Yeah. So that container of a men's group is like, let's explore it as a group. Let's go past what we know is, I don't want to say acceptable, but it's energy we would never bring to our partner because it scares us how primal it is.
Yeah.
So in that container, you get to explore it. You get to learn where the line is. You get to learn, oh, wow, I can do this. I can show up this way. I can project this anger. And then you learn how to dial it back. You learn how to show up. You learn how to show up on that edge.
Yeah.
But you still have a place. You need a place to tap into that. You 100% do. And what I find is if you don't access that energy, you start to flounder again. You start to get, I'm going to say, you just lose your masculine edge. You need to tap into that once in a while. And I do believe it has to be with other men.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go out on your own. I mean, you can tap into it, but there's power in not doing it with other men.
Yeah. I often tell women, like, he can't handle your bigness. Your sisters can. You know, go to a women's circle, go express yourself there, go into the bigness with them, because they're, to a certain extent, he can't handle it. And I think it's the same for men. Like, we can't handle the big primal expression, because also there's so much history there. And maybe also we don't totally need to. And that's maybe the practice on both sides of like, can I learn to befriend my bigness so I can show it to my partner without vomiting it? And I can show it in a way that they remains feeling safe, because I think that's what happens on both sides. So I love what you're saying there. That, and I also think that, like, while you were talking, I realized I think part of the nice guy is also a lot of nice guys that I know don't have the real male friendships, men-to-men friendships. And they're mostly friends with other women, friends with other women, friends with other women. And it's because of that, I don't think that energy gets any place to be.
Yeah, or lit on fire, you know, that glowing ember needs to be fanned a bit. And when you've got, you know, 10 other men or however many other fanning that fire, oh man, I have seen some men just come, it's like they come alive and they're like, oh, I've been this guy the whole time. I just didn't want to step into him and the power that he has. It's a beautiful thing to observe.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So what about your journey with the feminine? How's that been in your life?
Journey with the feminine. It's been interesting. My mother definitely had some trauma in her life. So it caused her to show up in a way, I think, if she had a choice, she wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And of course, that relationship paved the way for everything I expected in life. Mm-hmm. And I deeply wanted to connect with the feminine. I had a couple things happen early in my childhood that kind of the bond with my mother was not as healthy as it should have been. It's not her fault. Mm-hmm. She miscarried before I was born, which actually does create an abandonment wound. Mm. As well as when I was small, I would say 3 or 4, I was left in the hospital more than once, multiple nights by myself. So there's a rift that happened very early in my life, and it's about connecting with the feminine. So I had this, I'm going to say, unhealthy desire to connect with the feminine.
Yeah.
So I would show up in relationship just needing things from them, wanting things from them that they can't give. It wasn't a healthy dynamic. But unfortunately, when you don't have any modeling other than what you've seen in life, you get stuck as a man in this place where it's like, well, she needs to give that to me. You may not say it out loud, but that's what's happening internally. That's happening with your nervous system, because it's looking for that love and connection and bond that it didn't get fulfilled properly as a child. So that was really my experience up until, well, I think it's my ongoing experience, to be honest. Like, I'm working on it. I'm working on those things. And definitely in my marriage, that's what I was looking to her for. The relationship post heart attack was where it really started to shift, where I had some awareness. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of like clingy. I'm being kind of clingy. What's this about? And start to dig into it and see what it was. After that relationship, I'm like, I am figuring this out. Like, I am figuring this out. I'm figuring out my polarity with women. Like, and once I get to that point, I get pretty, like a bulldog. Like, I do not let go of it. Like, I am going to figure this out. So I did really good on figuring out how to show up for women and how to interact and keep the polarity, but there was still this underlying wound with the feminine. And I was aware of it. I knew it was there. I knew I had this abandonment wound with my mom, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it. So I had come up with I'm going to call them coping mechanisms to regulate myself when I would feel triggered. And I could feel, oh, wow, I am really looking to a woman for approval right now. I'm like, what the heck? Like, that is not attractive to them. It's not how I want to show up. So I started deconstructing it. And I got pretty good at regulating it, but it wasn't dealing with it. It's very different.
Yeah.
It's very different. So being able to show up like that, understanding the polarity with women in my life, knowing how to regulate this trigger, I did attract an extremely powerful woman into my life.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely powerful. And at the start, I could show up the way I wanted to for her.
Mm.
I didn't want to show, it's not that I mind showing her the wound, but I understand the energy it creates if I come mm-hmm. to her needing. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I want to do. Mm-hmm. But here's the really amazing thing is the depth of a relationship, the depth of what the divine feminine, I am going to use that term. I never used mm-hmm. to, but now that I've experienced it, I'm like, oh, that's a real thing. She started to crack me open. She started to dig deeper into that wound than I knew. I just didn't know how deep it went. And the way she showed up and the love she showed me just cracked me open. And I got messy. I'll be honest, I got messy because this emotion, these feelings, this wound just bubbled up. It's like, I can remember thinking, I'm like, oh my God, she's the one that's going to help me heal this wound. Because she's giving my inner child, she's giving all the trauma I've had exactly what it's been looking for, and she doesn't expect anything in return. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? And yeah, it was the most beautiful thing. I was listening to whose podcast, somebody you interviewed, and it's like it's a cyclical thing. I think actually you said it, when the masculine and the feminine start interacting with each other and helping each other grow, it just spirals up. It's an upward yeah. spiral. And we experienced that. We were both able to provide something for the other by just showing up. And that was an amazing thing. That was where I really started to understand what the feminine can do for the masculine. Not only in theory, because I always yeah. knew in theory, but until you actually live it, it's like, wow, that is a powerful, powerful thing.
It's so beautiful that you're speaking about this, Brendan, because I've written posts and I've spoken about this myself, like meeting my current partner, who was a man that fully chose me. And it was very much in a, like quite a developed masculine energetic. It was terrifying, honestly, to be with, because I couldn't run away. Right. It took me, I think maybe in all honesty, 9 months before I was able to say yes to that man, because we all say we want the king, or we want like the person who's like really good at relating or whatnot. But when it's actually in front of you, it's terrifying, because you are forced to face yourself. And I've never actually heard a man speak about what it is on his side. And I love that you said, like, this woman loved me so that it cracked me open and things became messy. Because it was also the exact experience that I had. Like, I couldn't distract myself with the stories of, oh, but here's this guy that can't communicate his feelings, or here's this guy that's like being wishy-washy or not texting me back. Like, I couldn't distract myself with all that stuff. So there was somebody there completely choosing me. And that meant that there was all of a sudden space for me. And I never really had that. And that actually wasn't really fun.
Yeah. It's two sides of the same coin. And
yeah,
I'm telling you, man, for men, the feminine, if you allow her in, she will raise you up to a level as a man that you didn't know was possible. Like, I honestly believe that. I've experienced it. And it takes a level, what my experience was, it takes a level of humility that the king needs to have. Absolutely needs that king energy. You have to find this humility that, you know what? She is showing up to love you and call you to a higher version of yourself that you have no idea. Like, you actually don't know. That's been my experience. And yeah. It's scary. Similar to what you said, because you're like, I imagine your partner sees you fully. She saw me fully. She's like, you're not playing small anymore. Like, I refuse to see this smaller version of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked before this about heartbreak, and my next part of the journey with the feminine is extreme heartbreak, in that she made the choice that this relationship wasn't for her, and that part of it was my wound, part of it was the behavior that came with that, and because she was calling me to a higher version of myself. So now my current relationship with the feminine has gone internal. It's definitely gone internal. It's come full circle. And that that is an interesting place to be at my stage in life. I didn't expect this to be happening, but I am exactly where I need to be. And what I mean by go internal and my relationship with the feminine is within me is all those wounds from my mom and the abandonment and the big emotions and the big feelings that I was unknowingly projecting onto my partners over the years is now for me to come home. It's for me to come home and to learn that those feminine energies in me are up to me to master. And that's not something we really teach people how to do very well in society.
Can you say more about that? Like, it's up to you to master. What do you mean with that?
My feelings, my emotions are nobody's responsibility except mine. Unfortunately, I had a paradigm that I don't know if I can call it a paradigm, this underlying deep-seated belief, I guess that is a paradigm, that my partner had to fulfill parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even aware of it. It was just there. Mm-hmm. And I do see that in other men too. I do. Mm-hmm. They show up in relationship and they're like, well, she said this and she said that. And I'm like, and I'm hearing it, I'm like, yeah, but you're projecting your stuff onto her. You're showing up as a boy in some cases, instead of a man that can manage his own emotions and his own feelings. Connor Beaton, I watched a thing he posted a little while ago. It was beautiful. He's like, your woman needs you to be able to navigate your emotional landscape. And I'm like, that's amazing. Yes. I just love the way he put that.
Yeah.
So up till now, you know, full transparency, I haven't been able to do that because I didn't know what it looked like. And that at first was humbling. You know, the amount of work I've put in on myself and the men's groups I run and the people I work with, I was embarrassed. I'll be honest. I was embarrassed. I'm like, how can I possibly help people if this is the way this has been my journey?
Yeah.
And then I sat with it for a bit and I'm like, this actually makes me more useful to the people I work with. Actually, because I've lived the pain. I've lived that way of being. And now I get to, and I use the word get to, because I'm actually, I go between sadness and excitement for what's going on right now, because I'm learning to get more in touch with myself and my feelings than I knew was ever possible. I had no idea you could go that deep.
Yeah. You and I were talking about this before yesterday. And I think sometimes, especially in this like Instagram online coach world, it seems like all the online coaches have their shit together and everything's clean and everything's fixed and everything's dealt with. And every single person that I know that I've ever looked up to is very messy. Their emotional life is messy. Their relationships are messy, because even though we might be coaches or teachers or guides or mentors, we are still human. And I think what I love that you're bringing right now, Brandon, is that the you say you're embarrassed. And at the same time, I actually honestly think like, wow, finally somebody's actually coming forward with the reality of life. Right. And we're all human and we're all messy. I don't think like I've completely let go for myself that there will ever be a moment in my life where I don't have triggers and I don't have fights and I don't pick on my partner for weird things or whatever it is. Like, I don't have this illusion anymore that at one day I'm just going to be done and finished and graduate self-development school, because that's actually not the goal. I think the goal is way more like, how do we hold ourselves through the messiness?
Yes.
And allow it to open us and to break us open. Like exactly what you're saying, like you're going through heartbreak right now, and that you could use that to close yourself further, but you're using it to open more to, okay, what is this leading me towards? Okay, inward, apparently inward. Okay, then that's where we're going. And so I love what you're talking about now. I'm curious, like, how can you see, or in your own experience, like, how can you see that maybe men and women might deal a bit differently with heartbreak? Because I've seen that a lot in the different programs I'm running, but I'm curious in your own experience.
What I can say is from my vantage point, you know, how women deal with it, I can't speak to that too much, mm-hmm. but what I can speak to is, and I have to find this study, because I don't remember where I saw it. They are starting to find that men are actually more sensitive than women.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes so much sense. So heartbreak from a man's standpoint, I think goes under the radar. I think it goes suck it up, move on. And I think that's dangerous. I think that's extremely dangerous, because it does hurt, and it hurts a lot. And society has not set us up to know how to support people going through that. It's like, it is grief. The biggest difference when a spouse or a partner dies, there's closure. It's very different when that person is still walking around and alive, and they've made a choice to not be in that relationship. And the things that it brings up are not just, you know, it's not just that breakup. It's everything from the past comes forward. It comes forward every time you were left as a kid. Your mom and dad forgot to pick you up at the school, or they were 15 minutes late. All those things come flooding back. And how do men deal with it? I think most of them bury it. I think they bury it and like go on to finding the next girlfriend as fast as possible and start drinking. Or maybe they like, I'm going to like, and I've seen this a lot. They get super fit all the time. So I'm a cyclist. So when I all of a sudden see one of my friends who's married, like start training twice as much, I'm like, oh, there's a problem. There's a problem there. And then, you know, not always, but sometimes it's a way to cope with the pain instead of leaning into it, because there is so much opportunity in these times in our life, so much. And I want to see men, especially men, women too, of course, but, and if you can crack your heart open like that, if you can allow those times to be a portal inward, that is literally where you will find everything you've been looking for, everything. And I say that because the power you have, it's like that glowing ember I said. This is like these opportunities. Heartbreak is like the fast track to light that fire.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, it's going to hurt a lot. Like, this has hurt more for me. I didn't know I could hurt so much, to be honest. Yeah. Like, the pain has been off the charts. I'm getting to a point in the journey where it's not as bad, but it's still there.
Yeah. I'm really moved by feeling your vulnerability in this, because it's not often that men will share about it like that. Also in the men's work that I run, it's often like, yeah, I'm just having a really hard time. And then that's where it stops.
Yeah. And I chose to share it.
Yeah.
For that very reason. Like it.
Yeah.
It is very painful.
Yeah.
And in my men's groups and the men in my life, when I have shared it, something interesting happened. You know, I was selfishly looking to them for support. I don't think that's selfish now that I said that out loud, but they, something really interesting happened is they said to me, by you showing us your vulnerability and asking for help, you just gave me permission to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we talked about bringing this up or not, I'm like, no, you know what? Like, they need to hear this. They need to hear this. Because just having a bad day is not good enough. Like, that's not a good enough response. And we have to chip away at that paradigm a little bit at a time. There's generations of just suck it up. And that's not serving anybody. It's not serving those men. Like, they, to get those relationships they want in life, to get the things they want in life, this is it, man. Like, you have to be willing to get vulnerable. You have to be willing to look inward at those feelings that scare the hell out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. In how I've seen this in women versus men, I'm often struck actually by that heartbreak or relationships ending often seem much harder for men almost to deal with than women, because I think we are so hypercritical of men that any kind of rejection is really hard to digest, right? We expect the A minus, like, for instance, in a man that's present with you and wavers his presence for a second, we'll get really annoyed. We'll get really angry. We'll feel abandoned right away. So there's this extremely high level of expectation, I think, on men. So whenever rejection does happen, that's almost unacceptable, right? That's so hard to deal with. It's so hard to deal with that somebody says, I've been with you and not, I don't want to anymore, because I don't think we leave enough space for men to actually truly digest that, because it's part of life, right? Rejection's part of life. Mm-hmm. Rejection's part of life. Like, it's, relationships will end. Everybody's relationship will go through a relationship probably ending, right? This is, it's so part of life. And I think especially in the way we talk about men and the way we have our expectations on men and the way we give them actually very little leeway. We want them to have more emotion, but then when they have more emotion, it's not sexy. We want them to do this. Like, there, it's actually, I could imagine as a man, it's a very confusing place to live in right now, right? Because the detached thing doesn't work. The nice guy apparently isn't cool. The playboy is also not cool. Like, so the super emotional man is also not cool. So where does the world want me to be? I would understand that's confusing. And I think, yeah, I'm actually curious on your perspective on this. Like, I think you're a beautiful role model of vulnerability, right? There's, you're really showing it now in the way you're speaking and the way you're sharing and the way you're sitting here. I think that's one of the hardest things to do, because, okay, I'm curious, let me ask it specifically. I have a lot of women that will come to me and say, the moment he's vulnerable, I'm not attracted to him anymore.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah, and that goes to what you're just speaking of. It's confusing as a man. It's like, you say you want us to be vulnerable. We do. And now the polarities crashed and burned.
Yeah.
So I do have an opinion on this, a very strong one. And this is lived experience. This was this partner. She asked me to show up and be more vulnerable. And I knew how to, like I said before, I knew how to manage this wound. Was managing it. It wasn't healing it. It was managing it. Mm-hmm. And I showed up at the start. I'm like, I'm triggered. I need some space to deal with this. Mm-hmm. It's actually a healthy way to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, be more vulnerable. Okay. Show me the wound or show me your feelings. Okay. I went too far the other way. The pendulum, I let it swing too far.
Yeah.
And then it wrecks the polarity. I feel unsafe. I 100% understand that now, because if I can't be safe emotionally, how are you ever going to show me your emotions ever? But that goes back to what I said about, I need to, to learn to handle my own emotions. It doesn't mean I don't have them. I think there's the vulnerability. Mm. I think that could be definition. What is the definition of vulnerable?
Yeah.
So me showing up messy and just going, blah, here's all my emotions. If that's the definition of vulnerable, that's not attractive. And that's not what we're talking about. I think vulnerable is like, I have these things going on, they hurt, and I've got myself. I can hold myself. But I want you to know what I'm going through. So I think there's the balance there. And it's hard. It is hard. Men, we're trying to figure it out. To all the women out there, we are trying really hard. And I think this is where there needs to be some work together with the genders to figure this out. What do you really want? And we're working on it. I can see it. And every relationship is, if you're in a relationship, you actually are, you have a beautiful opportunity to try things. If you can come together and say, let's try differently. Let's go find a mentor. Let's find a teacher. Let's find a coach. Man, you can accomplish some beautiful things with the partner you're with. Like, maybe it is not eject them. Maybe you should try to work inside of what you have, the container. Maybe you can change the container so that it works better for both of you. But yeah, I'm passionate about this. I kind of went off track of your question, but the vulnerability, I think it's a definition thing. I think men don't understand the level of vulnerability we can show. And I'm not certain that women are clear on the level of vulnerability they want or what it actually looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something I'm actually quite passionate about. I think we all say like everybody has masculine, feminine energies, regardless of your gender, but we're actually really terrible at holding the opposite energy. And so when your man is vulnerable, I will admit this, and I know many other women will have the same. My initial thought is like, I have to be there for you now. And that's why I find it attractive, because I start stomping my feet because I don't want to do that. Right. And so the crunch is, to a certain extent, I think feminine beings that need to learn that it's okay to be your masculine sometimes, right? Like, he didn't do something wrong because you are now need to be your masculine for him. Like the beautiful presence that he shows up for you, can we actually give that back sometimes without all the bells and whistles and the conditions? Like, can we actually give that back without the resentment? And I think it's the same the other way around. Like, if she, I don't know, stereotypical example, that if she takes over while you're cooking, can you actually let her? Can she be like, okay, girl, you want to take over?
Cool. Yeah.
And chill. Like, instead, so it builds so much resentment often on both sides. And I think there's something that gets to be practiced there of like, when that polarity switches and he is in a very soft, delicate space, can you take the more witnessing role and the holder role without the resentment, without the like, oh, I'm not attracted to him anymore. Well, you, and I love the way you said that, like, there's a difference in, cause you said like, can I, it's different if I just like bled or if I hold it, if I can hold it and show it. I call that like the little boy vulnerability and the man vulnerability, because the little boy vulnerability is like the sulky. It's like the, oh. There's a neediness in there. There's a graspiness. Somewhere in the shadow, he's trying to get something done. Right. And that doesn't feel good.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about is, I don't want to say most men, but we've not been shown how to hold our feelings. So we transitioned from mom taking care of us to like, we just threw men out in the world post high school, post university, with no emotional skills at all.
Yeah.
So now you show up in a relationship and you're like, well, there's a woman here in my space. I'm going to just do what I did with mom.
Yeah.
Gross. Like, who wants that? Like, neither of us actually want that. But as men, we need to understand that that's what's happened. It's like,
you know, when I know that's happened, when a guy says she should love me for who I am.
Ooh.
right? When relationships have been going on for a while and there's like the same fight happening and there's things she's not enjoying. And he says, she should love me for who I am. And then I think that's mommy love you're looking for.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I believe she actually does love you for who you are. That's why
she's there. She sees more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was going to say, there's something there you said. I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gone. Apologies.
It's okay. I'll come back.
Yeah, I might come back.
Yeah, I'll sort of come back. Yeah, I love, because I've seen you write about this as well, like the mother wound and the you know, how that shows up as adults. And I think that's something we are on either side of this, we're really not aware of.
No.
We're really not aware of where we, I think, put our partners in, maybe not just a parental role, but like a coaching or a therapist role, or wanting to be saved, or, and I can see this a lot happening in men in the sulkiness and in the, yeah, she needs to love me for who I am. Because I think, like, I, if I can speak from my own experience, I know I've, with every man, I see his greatness. And it would drive me nuts, exactly what you said in the beginning, if he would kept playing small.
Yes.
And not that he wasn't okay the way he was, but there was something about the deflatedness or something, is maybe the best word, that would hurt me. Because I love this man and I saw all of him. And that's what I think, that's what, like, it, me and my partner have been talking about this for a bit. Like, it's hard sometimes to love the, can you love the couch potato, right? Let's say your man's going through a depression. Can you love the couch potato? Can you love the depressed man that's just not able to show up for his life? And I said, yes. And I think the feminine always feels the space he's not inhabiting.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I have a question that this was the one, is how does the feminine, how much space do they give their man to step into that? Like, is there a time frame for them? What do you feel as a woman? You're in that relationship, you can see his potential. What does that look like for the relationship?
I think you said this beautiful thing. Let me see, I wrote this down somewhere. It's not that he isn't good enough as he is and he always needs to be doing better, but there is an energy of wanting to, or willingness to look at yourself.
Mm.
And so it doesn't mean that he has to be perfect. It doesn't mean that he has to be there. He has to take up all the space. But I think when there's kind of a passivity of, this is who I am, this is all it's going to be.
Right.
That's what hurts.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
That's because what hurts. Even a man in a depression can still be a man that is, I think, taking ownership of himself. Okay, I'm going through depression. I'm going to make sure that I have a support system as I move through this.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's important for men to hear. Because the way we've maybe presented it, it's like, if you're not on this path, like, you're like, just give up. That's not what it means. It's not what it means at all. And I think one thing I saw recently that really resonated with me is, many people want to heal long before they have the tools to do it.
Yeah.
So you can have, as a man, it's like, I want to change. I want to grow. I want to do better. And it might not be clear what that looks like yet. I also think that's incredibly important. This is not, all the men I work with, they're like, give me the pill. How do I fix this? I'm like, it's not a sprint, man. It's not a sprint. This is a lifestyle. This is like, you're on a journey. You just started a journey and you just need to go a little bit at a time every day and you'll get there. So I think that's really important to understand, is it like, you can't just fix it. There's nothing actually to fix. There's changes to make, and that's very, very different.
Yeah, and it's the practice, right? Like, you don't just all of a sudden can do, like, I don't know, lift a whole bunch of weight. There's a journey to get there, and it's actually that journey that makes it enjoyable. Because if you all of a sudden would be able to lift that weight, it would be very boring. Like, I think it's the same of like the feminine. You don't go to the ocean to float on top of it. You go to the ocean to surf and be tossed around and to have difficulty as you try to navigate right. that and try to master that, right? The gift is almost that it's not that easy, that you can't just read David Data and then bloop, you're done. You're this like perfect polarity master wherever, with every woman you are around. That would make it too easy.
Yeah.
I think you'd be bored.
Yeah, I love that. I love the surfing thing. I'm going to remember that. And yeah, even with the heartbreak, that is the journey. It's yeah. one of those times that it's like, it does hurt. Yeah. But if you choose to bury it, it's not going to work out very well. You're just going to repeat the same things. Like if your partner chooses to leave you, that's a gift, man. Like it may not seem yeah. like it, but if you can change your perspective on what just happened and why it happened for you, not to you, and it feels mm-hmm. like to you, trust me, I understand, but for you, and you find, like you mentioned, the support system, it can transmute into something very, very beautiful. And it's not going to be really clear what it is at the time, but it will happen.
Yeah. The way I've experienced heartbreak is that they've been these incredibly powerful moments where there's indeed a death and the rebirth. The rebirth is beautiful. Like my yeah. biggest shifts in my life have come after heartbreaks.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you on that. You know, it's a little paradoxical that often the thing in relationship, like let's say you weren't showing up for your partner the way you wanted to, or she asked you to, mm-hmm. it's those wanting to heal before you have the tools. Mm-hmm. It's paradoxical that heartbreak is probably going to allow you to tap into that part of yourself so yeah. that you can show up the way you want and your partner needs you to.
Yeah. 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 Beautifully said. Beautifully said. What if there's a brother listening to this, just got his heart broken. Mm-hmm. How would you advise him?
Definitely find brothers immediately. You need yeah. support. You, the biggest mistake would be to bury it. Take this seriously. Take this for what it is. This is painful. And don't try to be the tough guy. This is not the time for that. Your power, the most mm-hmm. powerful man, will lean into this, not run away from this.
I have this like imagery of like a warrior just about to go into battle. Yeah.
Yeah, this is where you will be forged. You'll be forged into a more powerful version of yourself. But you have to walk into the fire, not away from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm feeling this like, I think it almost opens you up more to love because you get to experience love in all its flavors, because the more we love, the more it also hurts when it's over.
Yeah, I agree. And that's been on my mind too, is the love I was shown was the love I've been looking for a long time. And did I block it? I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe my wounds got in the way. But what I can see, what I can feel stirring inside me is I am going to be so much more open to the love. I'm going to love deeper. I already know that. I can already feel it. Like it's an amazing, amazing sensation internally. It's like I'm connecting with myself more, and it hasn't been that long, but I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm loving myself more every day through this process, learning to show myself grace. Yeah. And these are things men need to, man, we need to understand that we do have these emotional feminine qualities in us. And when you ignore them, you rob yourself of your masculinity. You cannot have one without the other. It's not just all of one thing. It's not.
That's so beautiful. If you rob yourself of your emotional feminine qualities, you can't show up fully in your masculine either.
No, yeah. It can't be done. It can't be done. I liken it to a suit of armor. And this is some of the men's work I've seen. You can be a nice guy and you can go learn to show up more in your masculine. You can. I've seen it. It's like you put on the suit of armor and you're like, look at me. Look at all the changes I've made in 6 months, and you feel good. You feel confident. But here's the thing. Underneath that, the guy holding the armor is just not strong enough to do it for very long. At some point, you're going to trip and fall. Until you build your body underneath, your emotional awareness, your being in touch with your feelings and your feminine side, that's when you really can hold that armor. That is when you can actually show up fully in your masculine. And in a relationship wise, if I, as a man, cannot, and we talked about it before, if I can't handle my own feelings, how in the hell am I going to be able to show up when there's a feminine storm in my partner?
Yeah.
I'm not, man. I'm going to get driven into my boy psychology, in my wounds, and I'm going to hear mom freaking out on me, and I'm going to react as if I'm 10 years old. And who wants that? Neither of us want that. But the awareness of what's going on internally as a man is kind of what's lacking.
Brandon, this is so beautiful. This is so powerful. For anybody listening, I honestly invite you to just take a breath with everything that has been said, because it's powerful.
And I say this not because I read a book. I read the books and then I lived it, and I looked at myself and went, holy crap, this is not okay. I'm 4 years old right now. I was a 10-year-old in this situation. I'm like, I can see why I said that thing. I'm like, man, I am not okay with this anymore. I'm not okay with it.
And this is the beautiful thing, because as I hear you speak, Brendan, I hear a man taking responsibility for the messiness. And so it's not about that the messiness doesn't exist. It's about that you acknowledge the messiness. And that's so beautiful. That's, I think, what feels safe. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I'm mindful of time, so maybe as a final question, Brendan, what do you love about the feminine?
Ooh.
I know.
Do I only get to pick one?
No, of course not.
you know, it is that they can shine a light on the parts of you you can't see. That actually is my favorite thing. As I strive to be a higher version of myself, I can't see all my messy parts on my own. And the feminine has like this floodlight that's just like, oh, that thing right there. And it stings, but it's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate. And I appreciate that. And I want that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's beautiful. Thank you. If people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
My website is brandonarcher.com.
Brandonarcher.com. And he's also on Instagram, and he posts really beautiful stuff there. He writes really beautifully. So I highly recommend you check out his work there. Thank you so much, Brendan, for being here today.
Really, thank really you so much for your time.
This is so beautiful and so heartfelt.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, my loves, for listening to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please pass along to even just one person who needs to hear this. And
My love language is very much words of affirmation, so I love, love, love it when you share my work. If there was one sentence that popped out to you from today's episode, please do share it on your social media, tag me in it, and I will shower you with my gratitude. And always, if you want to stay connected, Instagram is the best place. That's where I'm the most active, sophie.josephina, or hop on my mailing list, sophiejosephina.com. And before I forget, all of these conversations, so every podcast episode, is now also available on my YouTube channel, so you can always check it out there.